It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I also want you to know, I'm committed to traveling to the impacted areas as soon as possible, but I've been told that it would be disruptive if I did it right now. We will not do that at the risk of diverting or delaying any of the response assets needed to deal with this crisis. My first responsibility is to get all the help needed to those impacted areas. And I expect to be there. Later this week. I and my team are in constant contact with the governors, mayors, and local leaders.
So Joe Biden spoke, I would say about 90 minutes ago, maybe, on the impact of Hurricane Helene. It's ravaged the east coast of our country. It's been very sad to see the results that this hurricane has left. Its thumbprint on our country, and it's tragic and it's sad. And, you know, we spend time worrying about things. We spend time discussing things. And then in an instant, Mother Nature can come remind you of everything that is important. I was listening to Harris Faulkner covering this, and she was talking to, I think it was maybe a sheriff that was in North Carolina a little bit earlier today on her show. And what she asked him, what's the worst part about all of this? And the man answered, it's the unknown. And they're talking about, I think they said 600 missing people. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they just can't contact each other. They have no way to communicate. So of all the problems that we are facing in our day today, of all of the struggles that we have, frustrations, anger that we might have for any particular situation, think about not being able to contact your loved ones and know that they're fine. And they're on the other side thinking about contacting you and knowing that you're fine. That's what those people are dealing with right now all across the East Coast, and they deserve our unceasing prayers. Joe Biden speaking from the White House, he was struggling very badly when he was talking, and he even mentioned during his speech that he had a cold. He's the one who said that. Some speculation on how well President Biden actually is right now. He said that he has a cold and is sick. So he was seemed very parched while he was talking and was coughing quite a bit. And hopefully he is well soon also. At the end of that conversation that he had with the press, got a couple questions off about the situation in the Middle East as well. And we'll double back to that in a little bit. One of the things that Joe Biden said there was that for him to go visit, people say, why isn't the president in the hurricane ravaged area of the country right now? He should be there. He should show up. The president does highlight that it is a massive endeavor to move the president anywhere. Everything shuts down around him. They have to secure locations, and it becomes a big hindrance. I am going to say, along with Joe Biden, the president does not need, in this moment in time, to be there in flesh in order to effectively help the people in the way that they need help. And I think it's an easy talking point to suggest somehow or another that he should be down there, that he should be present. I don't think that realistically speaking, we live in a world where Joe Biden is going to go to hurricane ravaged Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, any of these areas and actually make the situation better for anyone. What he can do is make sure that they are fully funded in their recovery effort. He was asked some questions at the side of a, I think he was getting on Air Force One possibly, and asked if there was going to be more funding spent. He basically said, no, I've sent everything we're going to send. I don't think he understood the question. I think he might have thought that they were talking about Ukraine or something. It was a very bizarre situation, and we'll play that for you here in a little bit as well. I really want to highlight, this is a complicated needle to thread, because the president is speaking from the White House, talking about the things that need to be done. And he's articulating that he can't go there because it's too complicated to just the maneuver to get him there is complicated. I want people to understand that that's the truth, that I don't think that he spent the weekend on the beach. You know, maybe what you do is you don't spend the weekend on the beach while people are being ravaged by a hurricane. I think that that's a little bit of a smarter political decision. I remember hearing, I think it was when I read Dana Perino's book, who worked in the George W. Bush administration, said that George W. Bush spent all of his Christmases at the White House. Like, Christmas Day was at the White House, because if he was at the White House, he didn't require the same type of security should he go to Camp David, should he go home to Texas or whatever, that he stayed put so that all of the people, other people who were needed, wouldn't have to leave their families on that specific holiday. So it would be the least disruptive. And I always thought that that was such a kind thing for him to do and a simple thing for him to do so that people could enjoy that time with family. But being aware of the movement of the president of the United States and what it takes to facilitate that is an important thing to do. Now, Donald Trump just spoke from Georgia, I believe. And so you've got the president of the United States speaking from the White House on the issue, but you've got the man who's campaigning to become the president of the United States in Georgia. And you're saying, Annie, if bringing all these people in here, if moving somebody of that stature into the system is disruptive, then Donald Trump shouldn't be there, right? Well, no, I don't agree with that, because what Donald Trump can do when he's not serving as the president of the United States, yes, he needs the security team that now he has Secret Service at the level of the president of the United States. Moving the president of the United States is still going to be a different situation than moving a candidate for the president of the United States. The security might be the same, but there's more to it when you're moving the guy who's the actual president of the United States. So I think it's wise for Donald Trump to find a way to go be at this place and bring attention to it, depending on how he handles that situation. I also think it would be wise for Kamala Harris to find herself in a position where she doesn't have to be standing waist deep in floodwaters in order to bring attention to it. The meteorologists have that covered. She could go be somewhere at a place that is providing aid, that is sending donation. If there's a Red Cross location somewhere that's not in hurricane ravaged Georgia, probably not going to go to Florida, maybe go to North Carolina is probably where you'd find her most. It still makes sense politically to see those members or those individuals who are trying to become the president of the United States to go be present, to acknowledge the issue and to use their presence for good, not just for politics. So Donald Trump was speaking just in Georgia, it was probably about 30 minutes ago. So let's listen in and see what he had to say with his visit.
Responsive. The federal government is not being responsive. But they're having a very hard time getting the president on the phone. He won't get on. And of course, the vice president, she's out someplace campaigning, looking for money. So they have to be focused over here. This is a really bad one. The governor's doing a good job, but he's having a hard time getting the president on the phone. They're being very non-responsive. We're also going to be going or talking with North Carolina. We're trying to get them hooked up with communication. They're totally closed right now. North Carolina has really been hit hard. Really, really been hit. Valdosta, and we're going to go with the mayor and the congressman and everybody else. We've brought a lot of supplies. We're with Franklin Graham, who's been always fantastic in these cases. Nobody better. He does with Samaritan's Purse. He's done an unbelievable job. And how is it going, Greg?
It's going good.
So Franklin needs a lot of volunteers, and I know he'll get them. He's done an incredible job in these instances, and this looks like a bad one, really, compared to
the worst we've seen in years.
The worst we've seen in years. So if anybody, maybe you can get that word out, the media can get the word out, he needs volunteers as quickly as possible.
And have you reached out to President Biden about federal relief efforts?
No, I haven't reached out to him. No, I think he's sleeping right now, actually.
And looking ahead to tomorrow night, what's the biggest goal for J.D. Vance at the debate?
I think J.D. is going to do great. He's a very smart guy. He's done a great job. People like him a lot. And he's against Tampon Tim, I think, who I don't think should have ever been chosen. He's not qualified. But J.D.'s a very smart guy, as everybody knows. I think he's going to do great.
Did you offer him any personal advice?
No, he doesn't need it. I will. But we've been speaking a little bit back and forth. I think he's in good shape. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you very much.
All right,
thank you.
So you have former President Trump speaking from Valdosta, Georgia, and he's making a quick hit there with the media, and he's standing next to Franklin Graham, who works with Samaritan's Purse. Here's a few things that I love about this instance. It's a quick hit. The media gets to ask what the media wants to ask. The conversation that you heard with Donald Trump was driven by whatever the reporters wanted to ask Donald Trump. You've got Donald Trump in front of you. This is your opportunity to ask your question. What are you going to ask? And he says, I'll answer whatever you throw at me. He has no problem doing that. He's standing there next to Franklin Graham. And, you know, that's a non-for-profit organization. Samaritan's Purse does a lot of really great work and is using human volunteers and taking donations to deliver aid immediately to the people who need it. Listen, folks, here's a perfect example of communities and people just like you sending money to where it's going to go directly to the problem. President Trump, former President Trump, potentially the next President Trump, is standing there showing you how you don't need to have the federal government be the be-all, end-all solution to the problem. Now, do we collectively pay taxes so that in a state of great emergency, like a ravaging hurricane, we come together and we fund the recovery for that? I think that we do. I don't have a problem with that. If we had massive devastation here, for instance, like the Amazon tornado that came and ripped apart a good portion of our area here, you're going to get some taxpayer dollars to recover from that. And I think that that is a good thing. But it's not the only thing. And it shouldn't be the thing that conservatives prioritize. The conversation, the talk around how we help one another, the idea that the government is the first but only solution. That's the difference between the left and the right. The idea, listen, I mean, think about this for a second. Imagine if government funds was the only thing that could help these people. You'd have to wait for Congress to convene to approve the extra funding that needs to be approved. You'd have to wait for the bickering to go back and forth in order for the funding and the relief to show up. The Red Cross, the Samaritan's Purse, these are organizations where people come together to help people who need that help and to do it without having to go through the laundry machine that is the government. It's a really interesting dichotomy between these two speeches today, these two press avails today, between the president of the United States, Joe Biden, who isn't running for president again. So what he's doing there when he's speaking from the White House isn't really a political maneuver. I think that he was speaking as the president, and I think he was where he should be. And you have Donald Trump, who's vying to earn the votes of the people in this country, and he's there bringing the people who can directly help, which is not representative of the federal government. Now, two criticisms, one from each different politician. Joe Biden, standing in front of the press, which he never does, gets asked a couple of questions at the end about things that are going in the Middle East. He stumbles through his response to what's going on with Iran. He pushes back and says a ceasefire now. That's like, I got to think that the people in the Department of Defense are going, ooh, don't say anything else. So he kind of wanders off because he doesn't look well. He doesn't sound well. I don't think he is well. As soon as they start asking questions about something else, he bolts. I have a problem with that. Answer the questions of the press. It's unfortunate that they have to use a hurricane relief effort press conference to ask you about avoiding World War III, but you don't give us any other options. If you're not capable of doing the job, get out of it. Make Kamala Harris be the president right now if she's so great. If Kamala Harris is capable of being the president of the United States right now, and you are incapable of doing your job, why is she not in office right now? Answer that question. I don't understand it. And then, of course, if you go to Donald Trump, the minor criticism I have is that he can't avoid the opportunity to say tampon Tim, because everything else about this was glorious. Everything else about his visit to bring aid and help to the people in this hurricane ravaged area, everything else about it was beautiful. It flies in the face of what the doubters think about Donald Trump. I don't dislike it. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I appreciate Donald Trump for who he is. And I know that I'm not going to manifest this fantastical version of a man who isn't going to turn into that. He's capable of doing the job. He's willing to show up and he's willing to focus on solutions. I appreciate it. But of course, Donald Trump, gonna Donald Trump. Anyway, I think it's possible that two things can be true at one time. The president should be in the White House until it is not disruptive for him to show up at the damage site. And a candidate can show up and bring help and show what he would do in that time of trouble. Let's take a quick break. Joe Concha is going to talk to us about the debate tomorrow night. The vice presidential debate is taking place, and we are excited for it. YouTube live chat poll for today. Who's the weirdest candidate running? Now, you know, the whole J.D. Vance's weird thing, that started with Tim Walz before Tim Walz was the VP candidate for Kamala Harris. So we thought, well, who is the weirdest person running? Is it J.D. Vance? Is it Donald Trump? Kamala Harris or Tim Walz? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi, vote, leave a comment. We'll be right back.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, room? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
I don't know nothing.
Walz is probably nervous. I do think that that J.D. Vance is not nervous and is pretty confident in whether or not he does what David says he does or predicts what he does. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. But I do think that he is the most to lose.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
So we've got Joe Concha back on the line with us, and we're excited to have you back. Joy, I am more excited for this debate from an entertainment level coming up between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, I think, than I was for the presidential debate.
I'm with you on that. And the thing is, Annie, people say no one watches the vice presidential debate. So I went back and looked. In 2020, between a rather milquetoast Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, that debate was watched by nearly 60 billion people.
Wow.
All right? It's a big deal. And then obviously the clips afterwards, if something goes poorly for one of the candidates, then that's millions and millions more. And if I'm looking at this as somebody who is looking at a prize fight, and I see that Tim Walz has not done one solo interview nationally, has barely done any interviews. You know, the tough football coach, his handlers are more petrified to put him out there than Kamala Harris, which says a lot, right? So he's going to go into this without taking one remotely tough question, and he's going against a guy who graduated Ohio State in 2.5 years, right? And it's only led by Yale Review. I watched Vance's his debates versus Tim Ryan, who's a pretty formidable debater in his own right. He's a pretty good candidate. It's just, you know, was trying to be senator of the wrong state. And Vance was excellent. He was so prepared for everything that Ryan was going to throw at him and had the perfect responses. He's measured, he's confident, and cool. And Tim Walz is this goofy 80s sitcom dad. You know, you see the way he goes on the stage, he's waving his arms and everything. That's basically it. That's all you get with this guy. So I wonder now, you know, this is the last time, Annie, that we're going to see a major event in this particular, barring something catastrophic, but you know what I mean, like a scheduled event on television, right? And this is the last time we're going to see a contrast between these two tickets. And if the final shot is Tim Walz versus J.D. Vance, I think, and I'm not being overconfident here, I know the bar is low maybe for Walz. You know, I don't think there is any bar. I don't think anybody knows who this guy really is.
True.
I think Vance it's Mike Tyson, Michael Spinks, 88. I mean, it's going to be a knockout, and they're going to send this campaign reeling. And I think it already is reeling based on the polling I'm seeing lately.
You know, I keep going back to the word weird. And our poll for today, we do a YouTube poll every day with our show, and it's who's the weirdest candidate running, Vance, Trump, Harris, or Walz. And it's important for people to remember that Walz was the originator, as my understanding, of the label of weird towards J.D. Vance before Walz was even like part of this race. And I think J.D. Vance is the most genuine, relatable dude that's been in politics in quite some time. And as we've gotten to know incrementally a little bit about Tim Walz, weird is the best word to describe whatever it is that is going on there.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that clip last week, which was hilarious. He goes, "We're not going to take 4 more years of this." Oh, no, we're not, are we? Because that's the Kamala Harris last 4 years, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Any guy, I got an elementary school son, third grade, and Tim Walz actually signed a law putting tampons in his boys' room. And his, of course, I'm in New Jersey, but if I lived in Minnesota, that's something I'd have to explain to my kids. So that, I would say, is weird. Thinking men can get pregnant, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's weird. Letting Minneapolis burn to the ground in 2020 and not sending the National Guard, which you were a part of at one point until you ditched them when they actually got sent into a war zone, that's weird and it's reckless at the same time. So when you look at the issues, and they're all on the side of J.D. Vance tomorrow night, as far as economy, as far as immigration, as far as foreign policy, as far as crime. Hopefully those things are actually broached and we don't have CBS doing their best ABC imitation. Good news on that front, by the way. CBS announced today that they will not be fact-checking during this debate.
Good.
And that's such a great idea. We saw what ABC did. 11 fact checks and follow-up questions for Donald Trump, 0 for Kamala Harris. They're going to stay out of this. So that's partly the good news. I just hope that we're not inundated with questions about, oh boy, you know, we get one question on the economy like ABC did, which was an atrocity. And then, oh, we're going to go right to January 6th. Oh, we're going to go right to Donald Trump said that he won't accept the vote if blah, blah, blah. You know, I hope they stick to the issues. If they do, it's going to be a long night for Tim Walz.
You know, CNN followed that model when they did the Trump-Biden one. They asked the questions. They didn't. And I mean, we saw what happened there. The fact-checking thing is an interesting thing in an actual live debate, because what we have seen, I don't know, you would probably have a better timeline on this than I would, but the media has completely taken over the process of thinking for the American people. In fact, the media wants you to do the least amount of thinking possible. They will spoonful of sugar what you need to know into your mouth, and you will take it with a smile on your face. But the lack of fact-checking, people say, well, how is that journalism? This is a debate. This isn't, you're not putting together a journalistic research package. Fact-check the hell out of it after the debate is over, if you so choose. But in the midst of the debate, letting the candidates speak for themselves. And for me, as a voter, if they want to lie through their teeth and put it out there and it comes back with a fact check later, I'm interested to know how much they think they can sell those lies to me. But trying to carry the water for one candidate versus the other, I do feel like ABC kind of, they got a little bit of a backlash for choosing to go the opposite way of CBS here and CNN originally.
Yeah, they became the story after that debate. You know, it was about, yeah, Donald Trump missed opportunities and Kamala Harris lie after lie, and the fact that she just seems so scripted and staged. I think J.D. Vance is smart enough to know to basically play chess here instead of checkers. And what I mean by that is, you know, that Tim Walz is going to say that, well, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance want a federal ban on abortion. Now, they've come out 100% against that. I know J.D. Vance knows that he's going to say that, but I know he's going to be ready with a response. Or when Kamala Harris said that Donald Trump wants to ban all IVF, you know, fertilization treatments, and Trump has actually come out and said that he not only supports that, but he would actually put U.S. taxpayer dollars towards helping people use that particular method. Boy, she just lied about so many things that night about Project 2025. That's certainly going to come up. You guys support that? No, they've completely denounced it. J.D. Vance is going to be ready with those fact checks. And the fact that CBS is not going to jump in here, that's great. Because we saw with Candy Crowley back in 2012, she fact-checked Mitt Romney, and turned out later she said, well, actually, Romney was right in the, in the mean, or whatever she said.
So bad.
Like, after the fact, but it didn't matter because you felt like the air come out of that room. That's a good thing. And then what ABC did, it's just so horrible. So I think, in the end, this is going to be something that's going to have a lot more weight than your average vice presidential debate, because, again, no one knows who this Tim Walz guy is, but I think they're going to find out tomorrow night, and one has stolen valor and one doesn't. And that's all I know about the two military people are going to see up there on that stage.
Joe Concha with us right now, Fox News contributor. What do you want to, what would you want to see? I think that the Hitler comparison that is going to be thrown at J.D. Vance when he went back and, you know, what the things that he said about Donald Trump before he knew who Donald Trump really was, I think it's a huge opportunity for J.D. Vance. If that question, I would assume that will probably come from an insult lobbed at him from Walz at some point. What do you want to hear from J.D. Vance should he have the opportunity to answer to that in front of the American people?
I've heard this answer, I think, already, because he has been asked about this, because the guy actually does interviews, actually does press conferences, and he was asked about that. He said, yeah, and then I got to know Donald Trump. I said that before he was elected. Then I saw the way he governed. I like what I saw. Then I got to know him as a person, and it couldn't be any further from the truth. I was relying, whoever is answering to, Mr. Walz, on media accounts of Donald Trump and things that were being said about him. And maybe I echoed that at the time without truly being informed and not seeing what a Trump presidency would be like. I saw it, and I want to see it again, because this presidency has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. I could do this.
You should. You'd have our support here from the Annie Fry Show. And then I wanted to ask you about the comparison of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They're so manufactured. They're so guarded and protected and insulated from the real world. And every time Kamala Harris, which is not terribly frequently, but we've seen a little bit more of her in some more regional interviews lately, every time she has the opportunity to come out and kind of prove the people wrong that she is thinking on her feet or thinking at all, that she can handle the pressures of that type of a situation, she actually kind of doubles down on who America is kind of growing to know her to be. Do you feel like Tim Walz is going to have policy points to talk about tonight, or is it going to be much like Kamala Harris's debate performance, where it was really just trying to get Donald Trump off his game? I don't know if you can do the same to Vance.
No, he'll see it coming, right? And plus, Vance, I don't think, would take the bait on, like, some sort of shot about crowd size, for instance, right? I just don't seem happy. No, it's going to be a lot about ambitions and aspirations and dreams, right? A bunch of, like, a stream of consciousness and a bunch of bumper stickers signifying nothing, right? I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is a Seinfeld candidacy. It is a show about nothing. Like, we're not actually getting any beer, it's all foam. It's all frosting, no cake. All sizzle, no steak. I could go through all the analogies, but that's what this campaign is built on, and people are getting sick of it at this point. And again, I'll go back to, you know, what Kamala Harris did during that interview with, who was it? MSNBC and Stephanie Ruhle last week, which, oh boy, talk about a hot stone massage of an interview. I mean, my goodness, some okay questions were asked, but again, not one follow-up, not one fact check. At one point, Kamala Harris said the word holistically three times in 14 seconds, which is really hard to do. So the CPU was just broken, like lather, rinse, repeat.
Control, alt, delete.
Seriously.
Yeah.
She paid her fair share. I went back and did the counts on this. And even after that interview, the New York Times said, you know, she's not really good in these situations, and then maybe she shouldn't do these interviews as often. It's great to see the press, like, actually recommend a presidential candidate from last year. Here we are. The New York Times endorsed Kamala Harris today. I mean, they endorsed Carter twice, Mondale and Dukakis in succession. I mean, that is really, they really had the pulse of the people on, during those elections, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
We love John Kerry.
Last question, Joe Concha, because I know you know about these things. Big Georgia-Alabama football game this weekend. Donald Trump showed up, and from what I understand, there wasn't much or if any coverage during the actual game broadcast, but there's a lot of stuff on social media of the reception he got there. Tim Walz attended the Michigan-Minnesota game in Michigan. What did you think about those choices to visit those places and the reception that they got?
Alexa, what a stark contrast. Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Never say anything like it. All right, first of all, like all these media outlets, like Kamala Harris is going to do an epic troll by flying a banner over the Alabama-Georgia game saying Donald Trump is afraid to debate, and then the plane never got off the ground.
Really?
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. I heard a lot about the banner. I'm like, where did the
metaphors.
Banner?
And then
I, this little, small, little, like, news, oh, by the way, the plane never actually got off the ground. So great job there. Yeah, look, it was about 100,000 people at that game, and what a game, my goodness gracious. And you would think that all 100,000 were cheering for Trump. I get it's Alabama. I get it's a red state, but optically, at least on social media, I mean, it looks awesome, right? And then you have Tim Walz going to Michigan and getting booed. Now, look, I get it. He's from Minnesota. It was at Michigan. It was at the Big House. But still, I mean, not exactly a warm reception at all. And that's just the contrast here. That's why I think that this election, I keep going back to this, Annie, and I can't get away from it. You have Pennsylvania, and the Teamsters support Donald Trump rank and file, like a 2-1 margin. The steelworkers support Donald Trump. United Auto Workers support Donald Trump. That's Michigan. Restaurant workers, those unions, they support Trump. That's Nevada. If you ever told me like 10 years ago that the Democratic presidential nominee wouldn't have the backing of rank and file members of the largest unions in the country and expected to win, I'd be like, no, it's impossible. But yeah. That's where we're at this point. So I think that decides it. I really do. She doesn't have the core. She doesn't have blacks. She doesn't have Hispanics in the numbers remotely that Biden had, and certainly not what Obama had, or even Hillary for that matter. So if they only won by a little margin last time out, and those margins have been completely erased and then some, I just don't know where the votes come for her outside of, like, I don't know, single women. I don't. I'm sorry.
And what, childless cat ladies? That's
I'm just saying it, but yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. If you'd said that 10 years ago, I'd be like, what happens between then and now to make that be the case? And we know that story. We've seen government go crazy, expand in the last 10 years, and people don't like it. Joe Concha, thank you. We always love your insight. We can't wait to watch this debate. We'll get your feedback after it.
Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Joe Concha, a Fox News contributor, also author of the book Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys. That's what he was talking about there. He literally wrote the book on the shift of Democrats and how they have left the party that left them. And, you know, some of them feel politically homeless right now. But you heard it from Joe Concha right there. A lot of these union members, these working class people, realize that the Democrat Party that used to stand for them, it does not any longer. The Republican Party gives them, it offers them something, some representation, some acknowledgement even. And the polling is starting to show that. But the only poll that matters is that November 5th poll. So go get Joe Concha's book, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys. It's available now. It's a good read. Joe Concha's wonderfully smart and also very funny. So check it out. OK, quick break. When we come back, the Monday Roundup with Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America. So you're going to stick around for the wildest ride in the wilderness, at least on the radio. Wiggins America next.
Well, I don't know.
It's all Monday Roundup. This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
It is September 30th, ladies and gentlemen, and this week, October starts. It does not feel like October, does it? It feels like it should be a little cooler than this.
It's September.
I know, but we're almost there, and it's like going to be 80 degrees tomorrow. Something feels a little wrong with that. Anyway, this is the Monday Roundup. I'm just sort of, you know, priming the pump for the week ahead. This is what happened over the weekend. The most important of
according
the non-headline stories.
This isn't all that happened.
This isn't everything that happened.
But it's the fun stuff.
But it's the stuff that you may, off your radar a little bit, but I think that you should know about. Number one is that M&M's are making a brand new flavor.
And that's the candy?
M&M's, yeah.
Okay.
The candy, Mars. They are making a brand new flavor of M&M's, the first flavor, a permanent flavor. I gotta stipulate here. They
Until
come out
it
with a lot
sell.
Of seasonal flavors, but they have 10 permanent flavors.
When you say flavor, you're talking about something other than chocolate?
Yes. And when I say the flavors, you're going to go, oh, yeah, that's okay. What that is. So the main ones are, of course, peanut and plain.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I don't like peanut.
Peanut's my favorite.
No. Plain M&Ms are delightful, but never prioritized.
So you never pick them.
No.
But when they're there,
you're like, these are delicious.
I have a handful of M&Ms. Why not? Mm-hmm. Peanut is number two, and then peanut butter.
Duh.
Peanut butter's fantastic.
It's the best. We I think, where did we do, you were on the show when we did the M&M poll, weren't you? Or that was before you?
No, I was, we've had this discussion.
I'm pretty sure it was before you. I think Tony Colombo was on the show when we did that.
Yeah, but I think I was also on the show. It was while me and Tony crossed.
Okay, yeah, like ships in the night.
Yeah.
We did this and it was like, it became a thing. People who've been listening for a really long time would comment, would know this, but people would come to us in, like, we'd go to Hardee's for Rise and Shine, and they'd be like, peanut M&Ms, and we'd be like, peanut butter.
It's like donuts and bagels now.
Yes.
We have that discussion with multiple people.
Maybe it's a Friday poll.
I'm not opposed to that.
I'm down for it.
Yeah, me too.
Because Ryan and I, as usual, are in lockstep agreement. I can't even say it out loud.
Yeah, this
I can't
never
even,
happens.
We're agreeing, and I was like, I can't give words.
Peanut
and butter.
It's green.
Yeah.
It's because of
I'm
peanut butter
M&Ms. Do I have a rash right here? Is this a bit blotchy?
But since I wanted to get through the big three, plain, peanut, and peanut butter are the big three. The new one, peanut butter and jelly. People are saying that the peanut butter is good, but the jelly doesn't quite pop enough. I haven't tried them myself yet.
Are they out?
Apparently they're kind of making their way around the country now.
That would have really made the segment.
It would have, but I haven't been able to find any yet. The other flavors that you will commonly see, almond, caramel's fantastic.
Almond is good. Caramel is good.
Yeah.
Pretzel.
I like them.
Well, they used to make crispy M&Ms.
Yeah.
I liked those.
Those are gone.
Those were my favorite when they were out.
Yeah.
And that was in like high school. In high school, in like the early 2000s. I graduated in 02, and I just remember, like, that would be lunch for me sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
A package of crispy M&Ms from the vending machine.
I didn't dislike crispy M&Ms, but it was the same. Like, in a bowl, I'll eat some. I'm never going to pick them, though.
Pretzel's good.
What about dark chocolate?
I wouldn't mind it. I don't know if I've ever had them.
I don't know that I've had them.
I don't think I've had them on purpose. It just doesn't sound good to me. Crunchy cookie.
I've had those. Those are good.
Fudge brownie.
Had that, too.
And the last one they released before this new one was caramel cold brew.
I have had that.
I haven't had
that one's actually pretty good if you like coffee.
They said they were reaching out to Gen Z with caramel cold brew.
I like how it's outreach.
Yeah. It's a mission statement.
What do the kids these days want? Candy. They want candy. Yeah. They want more affordable candy. Vote for Donald Trump.
There we go. So there you go. That's the new flavor. Should be hitting shelves soon. Let us know. The minute you try them, log on to the YouTube page and let us know what you think, because I want to know. The next one is a man tried to cremate his dog out in Colorado and has started a massive, massive wildfire. 7,200 acres have burned so far, and they have traced this back to a guy named Brent Scott Garber, 63 years old, on September 5th. He went out to a rural area. It doesn't say whether it's his property or not. It was just some property. He tried to cremate his dog, and when he was done, he was sad, and he threw the spray can into the fire. And it shot out and lit a tree on fire.
Oh, no.
No.
And started this massive wildfire. The problem is he seems to have known that he did it and then didn't do anything about it because it got out of control. And then they found him and said, this looks like it started right by you. And he's like, yeah, I think I did it.
That's the saddest story I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it terrible? No motivation as to why he wouldn't have said anything. I mean, we don't know if there was.
He was scared.
He was probably scared. He also did say that he was mad at the government because they told him, the local government told him, he had to do something about his dog because it had bitten another dog.
Oh, no.
So he went out.
I can't take any more of the story.
It's tough, isn't it? I just want to read.
So did he have to put the dog down?
So he did have to put the dog down, and he went out and was cremating it, which is what started the fire. They trace this back to this little, it's not quite a cave, but it was like a little bit of an overhanging of a rock where he was doing it. And they found a sign that said October 2017 to July 2024, Rocket Dog, rest in peace, buddy.
Oh, no.
Glued, isn't that sad?
Oh, man.
Glued right nearby. And that was where the fire had started, was right there.
That's, oh.
Have you ever had to put a pet down?
Yeah.
Have you? I have to.
Not myself.
I've had to twice. Man.
Although I grew up on a farm where pets were put down by their owner. That's the way that you do it. Mm-hmm. And it's terribly sad.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible. Let's see here. Here's a strange one to end on, but a customer called Delta and realized on the wait that the person who had answered the phone was his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, no.
He calls Delta. And
so he calls Delta. He's trying to just get some flight change or something like that. And he did the thing where it says, if you want Delta to call you back, press 1. You press 1, you wait. So the call back was from Delta, but it was his ex-girlfriend. And they realized it pretty quick. And the guy said the issue was unspecified, but the other voice was very familiar. They started talking. She confirmed some details about me and my trip, and then in a sarcastic voice said, "Wow, first class with the wife and baby, huh? Pretty fancy."
Oh, no.
And he goes, "Yeah." So they didn't really catch up a whole lot because she sounded a little bitter, maybe a little jealous, not sure. So the issue remains unresolved.
I think the issue is resolved. I think that the resolution seems like it worked out well for him.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's doing okay. She may not be doing okay.
When you see you've got to call someone back, they have to know the name of the person on the account.
Maybe.
You always confirm details. Every time I've called Southwest, I always have to confirm details, but you can do the have them call you back thing. You've put in information at that point.
Yeah, but is the caller on the other end looking to see the name ahead of time? Or are they just hitting next, you know, and that brings it up? But you're not looking ahead to see who's going to be on the phone.
Unless you, like, are on good terms or whatever, I'm seeing my ex's name and going, I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would think.
Sit and wait for another minute. Somebody else gets it.
Oh, man. Stick around in the next hour at 1:45. We're going to work on connecting with Steve Moore on the economy. We're going to talk about the port strike that might be happening and what that's going to do to the economy. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.